Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello and welcome to Gabagool, a Sopranos podcast hosted by me, Ben Vanel, and you, Adam Knox.
You as in me, not you as in the listener.
That's right, I'm not referring to the royal you, the listener, at all as a collective Adam Knox. That would be crazy.
One of you might be named that. I'd find it doubtful that two people would be. Maybe one. Or maybe, I don't know, if they've got a Google alert set up for their name, which is also my name, then this would have popped up. But I'm not listening to any of your work either, Adam Knox's. So sorry that this is a one-way street.
Isn't there a porn star named Adam Knox?
There was. I don't believe he's active anymore.
Okay. He transitioned to podcasting.
Yeah. It's a far filthier world, though.
There's only one Ben Vanel. And I don't know if the world is better or worse for it. But anyway, let's not get too introspective on this podcast about The Sopranos, because we're here to talk about the penultimate episode of season one, an absolute banger in my opinion. This one is called Isabella.
Yeah, and we open up on, is this the corpse of Isabella? Is this who Isabella is? No, Isabella is the neighbor.
No. Yeah, that's
of course, neighbor. Yeah. So, well, we open up on a dead body. Dead body is someone involved in the mob world. Someone's mum. Mm-hmm. The junior's there. And this fucking other guy. What's his name?
Mikey?
The rat.
Oh, Jimmy.
Jimmy. Sorry, yes. Jimmy.
Jimmy Altieri.
Jimmy's saying goodbye to this body and complaining about how many funerals there are.
Oh, yeah. This is another scene of Jimmy being obviously the mole.
Yeah, exactly. He's walking up to Junior and being like, hey, Junior, how many of these fucking funerals we got to be at here? Like, give me some goss.
Yeah. Remember how you guys killed Brendan Filoni?
Yeah.
Let's just say that into my lapel, if you could.
That's where I hear the best. It echoes up into my ears.
Yeah.
So we get a second of that reminding us that, hey, remember how Jimmy's the mole? Well, Jimmy's the mole.
Jimmy the mole.
But that's very quick. And I think we go back to the funeral later. But in the meantime, we're talking Christopher. We're talking Silvio. Yep.
Yeah, and they're talking tone.
They're talking depression. And they are talking about it in the way that Tony's afraid of, where, you know, Silvio's kind of defending him. He's like, hey, look, top guys all have dark moods. Churchill drank. Napoleon, he was a moody fuck.
Yep.
But the implication from both of them being like, Christopher seems worried that it means Tony isn't a good leader if he's depressed. And Silvio's like, hey, even if he could be a good leader and have a dark side, he still he doesn't accept that it could be depression either.
Yeah, true. Yep, yeah, I agree, because, you know, it's the way that Paulie ends up reacting to it as well, and, Christopher, we've seen in that conversation with Tony in a previous episode, he's not as open to this as a real affliction that isn't emasculating, you know, he still thinks of it as something to make fun of, that it's a sign of weakness. And he's struggling with it in this scene as well. He is doing his best. They all want to not think that, it feels like, but they all kind of do.
Right, exactly. Silvio and Christopher are like, or Silvio is looking for a way around it. You know, he could go, okay, he's exhibiting the signs, but it's for this cool, manly reason that means he's a great leader. And Christopher is kind of like, he couldn't be right. But then we got cut to Tony, who is depressed as fuck, lying in bed. It's the middle of the day. Carmela's off to buy a suit for Anthony Jr. for the prom, basically.
Yes.
I guess it wouldn't be the prom yet, but it's a dance.
Yeah, school dance. I forget what they call it. They do, yeah. But yeah, Tony is he's hopped up on lithium and Prozac, which he's done before when he's had particularly bad spells, but he looks fucking, out of it. No good.
And it's because Pussy's missing has been like an instigating event.
Yeah. Which I felt like we just watched the previous episode a few days ago. I felt like this one started kind of abruptly.
Yes, it feels like there's been a time jump between them.
Yeah, I was genuine. I literally thought I skipped an episode by mistake is how sort of, it doesn't really give a lot of context. But that's okay. I think as soon as you recenter yourself and settle in, it's not an issue.
But right.
It was a little like, a lot has happened. Because Pussy, the last time we saw him or we saw the guys, they were like, he was meant to show up here, but he just didn't.
Yeah.
You know, and now it's like, no, he's gone missing.
It seems like it's been a few days or something here.
Yeah.
At least a few days. Because, Tony's found himself time to get into this bigger funk. Mm. And it's all that he can do to yank himself out of bed, to close the blinds that Carmela's opened. But what does he see behind those, where those curtains should be, I guess? It's not behind the curtains, but it's behind where he wants the curtains to be.
A tree.
He sees a couple of trees. And behind those trees, what does he see?
Some grass.
Yes, and standing on top of that grass is
a gazebo.
And underneath that gazebo, hanging up clothing, is
a chair.
No, there's not a chair, actually. There's a...
Oh, really?
There's a cherub. In that Tony sees a babe hanging up white linen, wearing white linen. Just a very unrealistic looking person, unrealistically doing unrealistic. Like, straight away, she's mystical and she's
otherworldly. She looks like she's out of maybe a Renaissance painting of an idyllic Italian villa, you know.
This is the woman who's like painted, flopped in Fabio's arms on the cover of a romance novel.
Yes.
So Fabio, Tony, from me to suggest that this might not be real, but we immediately cut to big bottles of Prozac and lithium that are getting rapidly emptied, and Tony is chomping down on pretty quick.
Yep. Obviously, I'd seen this episode before, and I knew this that Isabella wasn't real, but I reckon I would have been naive enough the first time I watched it to fully buy this.
I went through all things. So I don't I think we're past the point where I'd seen up to.
Yeah, okay.
And I think at first I thought she was like a vision, and then I think I thought I started believing that she was real because they're interacting, and it seemed like it would be a fucking crazy direction to go with this show, to have Tony hallucinate a whole person and a bunch of interactions with her because he's taking too much lithium. And then it turns out that's exactly what I, everyone who's listening to this has either seen this episode or doesn't care if we spoil it. So yeah, she ain't real.
No,
not at all.
But I think not a cheap trick, you know. I think it's important for his emotional journey. And
sure.
I like it because of that.
I think it is done as well as this idea could be done in this show, I suppose. But I do think it's a bit lame.
Yeah, okay. Fair enough.
But we are also 22 years out from the fact, and Fight Club is a cliche now and all of that.
Exactly.
So at the time, maybe more impactful. But for me, watching it now as I am, I think it's pretty silly.
Yeah, okay. That's fair. But yes, he is obviously entranced by this vision.
Yes. And then he goes and sits weirdly in the shower. And then we move away from him back to this funeral that I guess is happening at the same time. And Mikey and Junior are having a little chat now in front of the body. And I think Junior's telling him a story about how he got his first hand job off of this lady.
Yep.
But then after the hand job chat, he's talking about, okay, this fucking cunt Jimmy is asking me all about the Filoni hit, da da da, and I don't like the cut of his jib. Something's up with Jimmy here as well. He's being weird. But Mikey and this other guy here reassure Junior that the thing is going ahead.
Mm-hmm.
That thing being the hit on Tony Soprano.
Yes.
It's all moving forward.
Forget the name of the other guy, but he features for at least, what, the next
He's in the next episode
to two?
Yeah.
Right, two episodes. Okay, yeah.
Because when we're recording this, we're recording the next episode. We've seen both of these last two episodes now. So we won't spoil the next episode if you're watching along. But
no,
we have watched it at this point.
Yeah, but they introduce, basically a second-hand, a right-hand man for Mikey.
Yeah.
And yeah, they're intending on killing Tony Soprano. That's going ahead. That's actually finally coming to fruition.
And Mikey's excited about it to the point where he's pissing off Junior by how much he's talking about it. He's like, can you just let me get back to saying what if kids collected prayer cards? It's like, Junior, you know, Jesus ain't no Pokemon.
But Junior is he's not morally conflicted about it, but he doesn't want to hear about it. He doesn't want to know the details.
Right.
This is his nephew that he's having killed.
Exactly. He's saying, if I delegate, I delegate. Like, I get that I made the fucking decision, but Jesus Christ, go and do it.
Yep.
You don't need to keep badgering me about it. Like, he's upset that he feels he has to do it. You know, he's not happy that he's murdering his nephew, but he's also not questioning whether he should.
Totally. He wants to have it at arm's length, whereas, Mikey is just gleeful.
Meanwhile, Christopher is over at Tony's house and telling him that, like, look, no one's seen pussy. There's no word on the street. I saw his family and they definitely don't know where he is. So we don't know what's going on with him. And Tony says that he's sick of hearing about pussy as well.
Yeah, that's true. The whole episode, he, because he's clearly depressed about it, but he just, I guess he wants to be distracted. He wants the drugs to distract him and he doesn't want people to keep fucking bringing it up.
Can't handle it in the same way that Junior's not wanting to handle with the Tony talk. He also mentions that Jimmy came to the Butter Bing and, you know, they haven't done anything yet, but they can't fucking stand or look at him in the face anymore type of thing.
Yeah, they're feeding him just like bullshit. They're not letting him get any more information out of them, but playing nice.
But Tony doesn't know still. He's questioning whether or not Jimmy's even the guy, as sure as he was last time.
Yeah.
He doesn't want anything to move on that because he's feeling weird about that now. He's completely lost in the woods here.
Yes.
You know, he doesn't know where pussy's gone. He doesn't feel confident about that it's Jimmy. He doesn't want anything to happen. He wants to lay in bed and take his pills and Christopher to shut the fuck up. Like, he says he's going to go downstairs. Christopher's like, to do what?
Yeah.
To get his pants out of the fucking dryer. Which,
yes,
you shouldn't have your pants in the dryer with the basement door closed and no air filtration coming out of there. Shit's going to go wrong. But so Tony does get dressed and he walks over to the neighbor's house, which this is the Cusimano's house that he's seen the lady in.
Yeah. He's gone looking for big pussy and he finds medium pussy.
Yeah, I guess you could put it that way if you really wanted to. He finds some of her like laundry on the floor and brings it over to her, and they have a little chat. Her name is mentioned in the conversation.
It's the title of the episode, Adam. It's the title of the
Isabella.
Episode.
Isabella, and she explains to him, "Oh yeah, the Cusimanos. They went to Bermuda to play golf, and I'm like their cousin or some shit.
Yeah,
from Italy.
Yeah.
I'm looking after the house. Yeah. Exchange dental student.
That's it." Yeah, she's reading some book about dental health. Mm. And Tony needs a bloody book about mental health, if you ask me.
So, I wonder if there's some reason that it's the dental thing because, like, Tony mentions, like, oh, okay, oral surgery. I'd stay awake during a root canal if you was my dentist, all that sort of stuff.
That's right, he did say that, yeah.
I don't know if there's some sort of, in the writing reason that she was a dental student. The Italy stuff makes sense, obviously. She's speaking a lot of Italian with him and, is talking about being back in Italy and the connection that he wants to feel there to what he considers to be the peaceful, relaxing, safe place mm-hmm. of Italy rather than this dangerous, risky, shitty place he's in now. That makes sense. But yeah, I don't know what the dental student thing is.
I would hazard a guess and say that it's meant to be Freudian. I think everything about her is probably, as is referenced by Melfi later, she's a maternal figure,
yep.
a loving figure. Oral fixation is a Freudian concept.
Sure.
As you go through the stages of development, you, as a child, you become obsessed with mouths and then like anuses. It's like it's just a Freudian concept, I think. As you can clearly tell, I did one semester of Freud in my philosophy degree and I've retained everything. I think it's just, yeah, the same for the same reason that she is yeah, a maternal figure, a warming, welcoming figure. It's just psychology shit.
It could be a doctor thing as well. Melfi's a doctor.
Could be a doctor thing. Absolutely, it could be a doctor thing. Yes.
And it's some version yes. of a doctor that Tony's old-fashioned brain can understand could be a woman.
Often it's said that dreams of teeth falling out is meant to indicate stress. Maybe it's, you know, it's like, oh, someone yeah. who's going to take care of my problems. Like, it, this is obviously all very free association-y, you know, we're just guessing. But clearly she represents, yeah, something yeah. to him.
So he drives off. He's gone to Melfi's place for
yes.
A therapy session. And Christopher, who, you know, was just around at Tony's and was offering to drive him somewhere and didn't like how Tony, you know, didn't want to do anything, he's taken yep. it upon himself to follow Tony around
and yes.
Just try to see what the fuck's going on. He, I would imagine, has suspicions about Tony because talk of a rat is happening. You know,
right.
you wonder whether or not Christopher is maybe following him to see if something like that's going on or if he really is just concerned for Tony's health.
Right, that's a good point, yeah. Everything that everyone has always said about the issues with him going to therapy are that, you know, he's telling someone about their business. Mm. I definitely just read it as Christopher genuinely being concerned for him.
I think that's mainly yeah. it, but
yeah,
whatever it is, it does work out in Tony's favor because the people who Mikey has hired to do the hit are about to fucking do it.
Yeah.
This is when they were going to shoot Tony Soprano.
For some reason, this recap gives these guys full names, first names and last names. I don't believe they're named in the show.
I think so. I think the guy who isn't Mikey but is Mikey's other guy said something about like something P or D. What are their names?
Rasheen Ray and William Claiborne.
Oh, well, they definitely didn't mention that.
I didn't. Maybe on the news at the end of the episode. Like,
oh, yeah, yep.
Because one of them gets killed, obviously, but full names for characters I had no idea had names.
No, they're just the hitmen that are hired by Mikey to kill Tony, and they've
yeah.
So Mikey knows about the therapy stuff, and so
yeah,
he has
yeah.
sent them to that specific spot to kill him yep. there because he knows Tony will be alone and all of that. But mm-hmm. Christopher just happens to pull up here because he's been following him. He thinks he's just walking into the donut shop that the
yep.
the doctor's office is behind, and yeah, just because he pulls up and like blocks these guys in and now is like a witness to the crime, if they were to do it, they bail.
Yeah,
they have a yell at him, Tony, and there's an altercation and he takes note yeah. of the car and shit like that.
Yeah, yeah, true. Yes. But yes, Tony literally dodges a bullet.
Yep. Chris you know, double parks them in and walks into the donut shop but sees Tony's gone, and the mystery remains for Chris, and the life remains for Tony. But maybe this is the P guy, because yeah,
what?
Whoever they referred to yeah. before, they've got some other contact who Junior and Mikey are now meeting to, you know, they would presume hear about the hit.
Yeah, yeah. This is the smash cut to Junior spewing out the car, right?
Right. Yeah. He's all worked up about this. He's
yep.
feeling sick over it. Literally, Donnie is the other guy.
Yep.
The Mikey guy, and they're waiting yep. on him to to come and tell them whether or not Tony was killed. I wonder if they had Junior throw up to get this little joke in as well, where Mikey offers Junior mints.
I noticed that as well. Yeah, maybe.
But
it's not great.
No, but it does serve to, like, Junior comes across as, ineffectual and a bit silly in all of this. Like, he's trying to kill someone and he freaks out and lays down in the back of the car to not be seen by this other guy. Like, he comes across as not quite bumbling, but, you know,
not up to the task like you would imagine Tony would be.
Exactly.
You know, you don't see any of Tony's crew. Like, Paulie and Silvio have never flinched at, you know, doing this kind of stuff before. Yeah, totally got that feel. He looks comical.
Paulie is silly, but yeah, there's something undercutting about how, the way they're treating Junior here. And so, yeah, this guy Donnie, Mike and Mike's friend are having a talk to him. Donnie tells him, hey, look, they got parked in. There was a witness guy. It didn't happen today. It'll happen tomorrow. You got my word. I know that it's serious. I mean, the way I hear it, Tony's own mother wants him popped. And they freak out about it.
Yep.
And he's like, what? I'm just joking around. And it's a joke that's going to cost him dearly.
It's going to cost him the ultimate price.
$1,000.
Yep. But yeah, Mikey goes and fucking pops his head.
Yeah, on Junior's order. He goes back to Junior and Junior's like, I don't like that fucking joke. You go kill that guy. He's got a big mouth.
Yep.
So, yeah.
But presumably, the next day has been set up already, so it doesn't matter.
Right.
He's done.
But they, you know, pretty happily just give him a bullet to the head. And Junior is still crouching down for some reason as they drive past this dead body.
Like
peeking over the very edge of the window.
Yes. Yeah. You're right. It's definitely on purpose. It's definitely made to make him look like he's not the guy who should be in charge.
Exactly. It makes him look like a stooge.
Yes, totally.
And meanwhile at Melfi's office, Tony's kind of complaining about the amount of medication that he's on and his depression and...
Yeah.
Melfi's trying to say, hey, look, it's meant to be a kickstart. And he's like, ah, look, it's this fucking sucks and you ain't helping me and fuck you, pretty much.
Mm-hmm.
He's saying he feels numb and everything he touches turns to shit. He's not happy at all.
That's right. He's reverse King Midas, he says.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's not really working for whatever reason. The therapy, he's not... feeling good about it. He's arguing for, hey, give me more drugs or something to fix it. Let's go. And she goes, okay, we'll up the fucking Prozac for a bit. Because I think for a moment she even suggests, like, well, maybe you need to go somewhere more in depth than me. And he's like, what, fucking padded walls and straitjackets? But when he goes to the chemist to get these drugs, he runs into Isabella.
Yes. And he looks happy for the first or the second time this episode. Yeah. some more small talking about what she's doing, what she's studying.
She's bought sandwich called a hero, and she's like, why is it called a hero? Right. What's so heroic about it? And he's like, hey, fuck that sandwich.
Yeah, fuck that stupid American sandwich. Let's go for lunch.
Uh-huh. So they go and have a sit down at this, like, beautiful little restaurant that's got a...
Yeah.
It's very sunny there. It's got very Italian-looking decor.
It does, doesn't it? It's a beautiful little patio, lots of white sort of wrought iron from memory.
Yeah. And she's like, hey, are you from this part in Italy? And he's like, oh, holy shit, I am. And she's like, oh, my God, it's a beautiful place. And starts, you know, very painting a very much a beautiful picture of this place that Tony wants to go to. And we zoom in on their faces as he gets drawn into this fantasy and starts to imagine her as like a motherly figure holding what you'd presume to be their son in olden days Italy, with garlic hanging up on the wall and a fireplace in the corner and stone everywhere.
Yep.
Yeah. Pretty appealing.
It is. I wish I was there. It looks beautiful.
I'd love to live in olden days Italy.
Yeah. I've thought about buying one of those €1 houses in Italy.
Oh, yeah.
But then you have to invest like €45,000 to fix them up. But
I'd miss the internet. I got to be honest with myself. I'd miss modern shit.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'd get to olden days Italy and be like, oh man, I should play Mega Man 3. You know?
Yeah.
But
go live in Rome and go on a day trip.
But yeah, he gets fully brought into this thing and then kind of snaps back out of it. And she's talking about tumors of the gum and stuff
That's right.
It's weird that I don't know what the dentist thing is about.
Right. Yeah, yeah, yeah. This being a detailed aspect of the fantasy. It's
very much
soft soft gum flesh and tumors of the mouth. It's like, okay.
Right, it's prominent.
Yes. Yes.
So I wish I could kind of figure out what they might be trying to do with that, but anyway, back at the Sopranos house, they're having a nice dinner all together at like you know, their mum's around.
And, yep. Yep.
Carmella gets Anthony Jr. to pull the chair out for her because Anthony's going on this dance and he's got to learn manners.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And in comes Donnie. Well, I mean, he looks like a bit of a fucking donut at the moment. He blasts out these double doors and lumbers up there with his stained sweatshirt and his fucking robe on.
His dirty robe that he refuses to let the maid clean. Right. Yeah.
And they end up telling him that they think, hey, fuck you. Tony, what's going on
yeah.
here?
Yeah. Yeah. He obviously Livia is not happy about this.
Yeah.
This is not what she wanted to raise.
He's ruining her fantastic mood that she's in, talking about some lady in Pennsylvania who shot her children and set her house on fire.
Yeah. Yeah.
And she's always been like this. She's always reading the obituaries and shit, but I really like the way that they bring her talking about these kids dying in a fire and stuff in later on.
Is that in this episode that Melfi...
Might be the next episode.
Yeah.
Who knows? Okay. We'll keep it close to our chests for now. Because Livia asks Carmella, like, who's this fucking guy in the robe? Who's this cunt? Is this my son? Mm-hmm. And this isn't in her, like, you know, faking it way. This is in my kid's a fucking loser for being depressed way.
Yeah.
She pretty much explicitly says that, like, my father came here with 17 cents in his pocket and you think he ever complained? Telling her son that he's a piece of shit.
Men these days, they need to harden up.
Exactly. She's got no sympathy for him and she'll say as much to everybody, but he's off back upstairs. He's not going to give a fuck about listening to this.
Yeah.
And she takes the opportunity to have a fake cry.
Yeah.
Yet again.
Yeah, I'm never coming back to this house.
Yeah. She's at peak manipulation currently.
Mm. Yeah. Which is a bad, Tony is in a, what's the opposite of a peak?
A trough.
Ultimate trough.
Yeah.
The emotional trough.
That's
not
why
a good time for that.
A pig is the opposite of a mountain goat because pigs eat out of troughs and mountain goats eat at the peak of a mountain.
That's right.
That's commonly known animal fact.
Totally. Yeah.
They also point out that Junior isn't at that dinner.
Yeah.
They invited him around, but he didn't come because, as you would imagine, he feels guilty about the hit he's trying to take out on Tony.
Yes. He wasn't feeling well, which is true. That's a true excuse.
That's true. But so it's the next morning and Tony's looking out the window at the neighbor cousin Isabella again. And in comes Carmella, looks out and goes, ah, fuck you, Tony. You're looking at this fucking hot woman. What's wrong with you? Yep. What am I, a piece of fucking meat to you? What am I, a piece of gabagool?
Strudel?
Over here.
Did you say strudel? Yeah.
What am I, nothing? And then...
Yeah, you can't... Don't cast a fucking glance my way for a month and a bit of thigh over there and you're out of bed.
Right.
Curtains open.
And Tony admits he went to lunch with her and stuff like that. They have a bit of a fight about it that, you know, she's actually helping him here. Actually being a wife and she should cut his dick off.
I'll cut your fucking dick off.
Now, okay, I thought it was in this conversation, but it must have been the last one. At one point, Carmella tells Tony, I guess the day before, that she's off to go and get Anthony Jr. a suit for this formal. And then later on this day, I guess, the maid tells Tony that that's where Carmella had gone.
Right.
And I thought that was something to do with, like, giving you a clue that it was imagined or whatever. Because this conversation we know later from the episode, Tony invented in his head.
Yeah.
But I guess that just wasn't part of it.
No, I don't think so. I didn't pick up on that being a part of it.
But that is the reason that Carmella's out of the house 2 days in a row.
To go
to the same shopping center and buy the same suit for the kid, but... I guess that's just nothing to do with anything. Maybe she couldn't find the suit the day before.
Or they go and get a fitting and then they, you know, tailor it and they pick it up, right?
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. Oh, yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know what people do during the day, such as go and see a matinee movie.
Yeah.
Junior and Livia are out catching a flick, I guess.
Yep.
Which is so weird to me. The fact that them going out and seeing a matinee movie together is a very strange place for them to be.
That's what people over 65 do, right?
I guess so. What movie are they seeing in 1999? Maybe it's an old movie being replayed.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yes. It's a revival theater and they're playing Gone with the Wind.
Yeah, they're $3 tickets, it says on the sign. But they're having a chat outside and Livia is basically saying, hey, I'm glad we're killing Tony. I had this cousin who back when he was, something happened to him, I don't remember what, and his mum is wishes he'd have died before he'd have turned to shit. My Tony's sitting in a bathrobe at 7 p.m. He's as good as dead to me because he's depressed. Is what she says.
Hurry up. Hurry up and get the fucking hit done right because I want him out.
Right, pretty much. And Junior's saying the same thing of like, can you shut the fuck up about that? Everyone keeps talking to me about the one thing I don't want to have a conversation about.
Yeah.
Here in the loud, windy area that would be hard to... Anyway, Tony's back in bed. He's still there.
Yep.
And this is when the maid comes in and says Carmella's gone to buy the suit for AJ.
Right.
So Tony tells her to fuck off and goes next door to try and continue this affair he clearly wants to have.
Let's get back to that gabagool.
Yeah, he's certainly having an emotional affair in his mind, at least.
He really wants to go and fuck this lady next door instead of anyone who he's married to.
Yeah, or even his mistress.
So he gets dressed again and goes on back down to, he's, I guess, having daily sessions with Melfi at the moment.
Yeah, that makes sense, right? He's in fucking crisis point. Like, this is
I suppose the lowest he's been. And they've got the money. So he goes back down to this newsstand and asks for a racing form and an orange juice. And he gets handed the biggest bottle of orange juice I've seen one person intend to drink in my life.
Absolutely. It's a 1 liter glass bottle of orange juice.
It's enormous. It looks big in James Gandolfini's hands. So you can only imagine the size of this orange juice.
Yeah. It's probably 2 liters.
You're talking 40, 50 oranges.
Yeah.
To get this much juice, I think you're squeezing dozens of oranges here. And it seems it's all for Tony because he starts glugging it down.
Yeah. It is. It looks like he cracked a 2 liter bottle of milk and just started slurping it down.
Yeah. This man's walking around with a 1.25 Coke saying, here's my my little drink.
Yeah.
But he's off back to the car with this huge bottle. A glass bottle.
Yep.
I guess.
And the ultimate irony is that he won't get to drink any more of his giant bottle of orange
juice. Unfortunately, he only gets to drink a normal amount of orange juice.
Yeah.
Because this juice bottle, very cinematically in slow motion, gets blown out of his hand here.
Yes.
The first bullet.
Finally, Rasheen Ray and William Claiborne get to launch their... assassination attempt.
Those famous names. Now, I can't remember what song is playing here because I'm listening to it on mute. I'm just going to play it for a second and because there is a song underneath.
Okay.
I believe that's the case, at least. There's a song that's playing beforehand. Okay, it's just some, like, instrumental music song, maybe.
Okay.
But there's some song playing to try and make this this moment cinematic. And the first bullet hits the orange juice. Tony's seen the reflection of the oncoming gunman.
Yes.
In his car window. And he is very lucky that those first couple of shots don't connect. Because it takes him a little bit to respond to this. But he jumps in the car and a big sort of, I guess, fight scene happens here.
I really liked this because, Tony is a big guy. He's probably strong, but he's not a fucking, you know, kung fu expert or anything like that. Mm. He's a killer, you know, and he's going to defend himself, as he references later, like, you know, with every fiber of his being. But it's not unreasonable. Like, I think from what I've heard about, like, what real guns are like, it's not crazy that you would miss someone, you know, if you're moving... And aiming and firing, it's like, you probably would miss and accidentally get the juice bottle. Like, it's probably more likely that it would have hit the newsstand. Like, it's not
right.
this is not crazy. This is pretty realistically done. And he jumps in the car. The guy puts his arm through the window, right? Or does he smash the window?
He
can't remember if it's open.
Pulls the first guy in through the window there. Yeah. The window's already been smashed by the second bullet.
That's right, yeah.
And then, these guys who were described by Mikey as definitely able to get the job done. So, but, whatever. That could also be they get the job done with a full clip rather than first shot.
Yeah, yeah.
But, he, like, grabs that guy, puts him in a headlock. The other guy comes up next to him on the other side of the car, fires a shot that Tony is able to, like pull the other guy's head in the way of, basically.
Yeah.
So the first attacker gets shot in the head. The second guy, Tony, again, yanks in through the window and kind of drives off with him.
Yeah.
And puts him under the wheel of the car, pretty much.
Yep. He apparently survives, though, and runs away. Yeah.
But then Tony crashes while looking behind him into a parked car.
Yep. Pretty good scene.
Yeah, it works, definitely.
Pretty good scene, yeah. Yeah. And obviously, like, ending it with a car crash, he's not successfully driving away all happy.
Right.
It all plays like you would probably expect it to play out in real life.
Yeah. And so Tony's in the hospital. Carmelo Meadow and Tony Jr. have come to see him, and they're all, worried, obviously. But Tony immediately looks happier and more relaxed than he has this whole time.
Totally. Absolutely. He mentions it later, but and you're right. Like, I think during the sort of incident, it takes a second for him to snap out of it. And he is on, like, a lot of drugs, so fair enough. But yes, he comes back to life, essentially.
He's got a bigger smile on his face than he's had in a while. He looks, old-fashioned Tony again. He's joking around with everyone. He's telling Anthony Jr., okay, what's your fucking problem, man?
Yep.
He's back to being Tony, but unfortunately, the FBI is here as well. So in comes this FBI agent who we've seen before. I forget his name. But
Harris. Agent Harris.
Agent Harris, that's the one. And he kind of offers... He straight up offers Tony the, hey, why don't you put a wire on?
Yeah. Yeah, flip on everyone else and witness protection. You're out. Everyone's safe. Your kids get to grow up without, this shit happening around them.
Exactly.
Carmella refuses to leave the conversation despite Tony asking her to.
Yeah.
And obviously this appeals to her. She wants that safety.
Because the FBI's position is, hey, guess what? Someone's trying to kill you. Want to have that not be the case? Come with us.
Yeah.
And he, he immediately is like, no, fuck off, whatever. This is part of it.
Yeah.
And pretty quickly, I think Carmella understands that there's no way he's going to do this and she can't talk him around to it. She takes the card and she tells him he's being childish, but he is steadfast.
Yeah.
He's asking her as well, like, did you ever tell anyone about me seeing Melfi? And she asks him if he thinks that someone is trying to kill him because of the psychologist thing, which he is exactly right about.
Yes.
But she seems to say that as though it was ridiculous.
Yeah.
He very much tells her, look, I'm Tony Soprano and this is where I live and this is what I do and there's no way you're going to be able to get me out into the fucking, Utah selling bullshit. He's very afraid to be a salesman.
He is, isn't he? Yeah.
Really hates the thought of it.
Fair enough. I also never want to be a salesman.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening to the ads at the start and end of this podcast, by the way. Really appreciate. The boys arrive, right? They're like, show up. They're like, hey, we're going to take care of Tony. No one's coming in around.
Yeah.
Everything's
Paulie
fine.
And Scylla here and just like, rather than making him afraid to be in the mob or anything like that, it's driving home the point that he's like, okay, I'm more in this than ever, kind of.
Totally.
Which we get more of this during the rest of the episode because fucking Junior and Livia sitting here watching the news about how Tony survived and they are not happy about it.
This is Livia driving home the point of like, how the fuck could this not go ahead? What's taken so, like, still
so they're in crisis mode now and Livia straight away is like, okay, well, we go see him. We've got to go see him.
Yes.
Junior's like, what the fuck? We can't go see him. And she's like, yep, We got to go around there. We got to make ourselves known.
She's so smart. Mm-hmm. It's absolutely what you should have done if you didn't want anyone to realize you ordered the hit. And even if you did, you got to play nice. You got to show your face. You got to keep up the appearances. Because if you don't go, then it's obvious.
Because
battle lines are drawn.
So they're all around at Tony's house. There's Syl, there's Paulie, there's Christopher. He's wearing a weird fishing hat because he's <Yep. laughs> off fishing, I guess. And
yeah.
They're talking about who might have done it. And Tony's like, look, it was a fucking carjacking. Who gives a shit? It was a couple of idiots. And they're like, and so they say, yeah, a couple of idiots in a fucking Taurus. They don't use the word idiots, but I'm gonna editorialize here.
Yep.
And,
yep. This is not a history podcast where we need to show the facts as they were, as to not clean up the representation of, you know, the terrible 90s. This is a comedy show where we're not going to say any slurs.
Couple of jackasses in a new Taurus.
Yep.
And Christopher hears Taurus and he's like, holy shit, I saw a couple of fucking jackasses in a Taurus at the newsstand.
Holy cannoli. I think the reason that he wears a fishing hat is to set up that guy has a boat.
And he'd been away. Yeah, maybe it's that. But just like that's why he wasn't at the hospital straight away. That's why he's hearing about this for the first time in this scene, I guess.
Yeah.
Because straight away he's like,
that is weird.
These guys in a fucking Taurus. I was parked up in a Taurus in the same place the day before. And Tony's like, what the fuck you talking about?
Yeah. Yeah, I was taking my mother to the doctor.
Right, exactly. He's
yeah.
Which Tony seems to buy, I guess. But yeah. They're all eating. They're all hanging out. They're going to try and figure out who it is. And when Junior gets there, they say like, oh shit, okay, we kind of thought it was him maybe, but here he is. So I guess it wasn't.
Yeah. I'm not sure how much they buy it, but it's on the surface level, yes. They're like, oh, okay.
I don't think Tony gives a shit that he's there. Tony hugs him, but like has a very much a look of fuck you to him while he hugs him. But for the other guys, they're like, hey, okay, this is a sign that it maybe wasn't Junior. Also, the priest guy is there for some reason.
Yeah, yeah.
He takes this as a moment to try and get Tony closer to God, but Tony shoots a few barbs at him. Why don't you grab a sandwich, eh? We'll talk later. Hey, you're staying the night, right?
That's right. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, weird for this priest guy to be opportunistic and try to manipulate someone while they're emotionally vulnerable.
Right. So, yeah, they're all having a sit around. They're checking up on Tony, blah, blah, blah. And this is where Olivia takes her first steps towards doing her Walter White Breaking Bad performance.
Her fugue state.
Yeah, that's the one.
Yes, yes.
And this is the first time she doesn't recognize or claims not to recognize Meadow.
Yep, yep. I forget what does she confuse her for, the maid or for?
She's just like, who the fuck's that?
Or someone else?
She just says, who's that? For now,
right.
But she's planting the seeds and laying the groundwork for her master plan.
Yeah, yeah. Or she has Alzheimer's.
She doesn't. Get the fuck out of here.
Oh, wow.
Get the fuck
out
of here. There's no way.
Wow, Dr. Knox over here.
It ain't real.
Making the diagnosis.
I'm a dental nurse.
Hubba, hubba.
Yeah, I was studying under the actual dental student that I've reduced to being a nurse.
Yes, yeah.
But she's fictional, whatever. But anyway, yeah, they're all hanging around. And it does seem like for Paulie and Silvio and that at least, they no longer suspect Junior as much, but Tony ain't buying it.
Sure.
And Olivia is laying this this Alzheimer's groundwork, which, yeah, she's fucking faking it like hell, man. There ain't no way.
I don't trust her at all.
Speaking of lacking trust, it's the middle of the night and Carmela's driven Tony to see Melfi in a non-psychiatrist's office location. They're just meeting up in her car. They've driven into the middle of nowhere, you'd assume.
Mm, yeah.
Carmela shoots her a bit of a look and drives away. And Tony
jumps
in.
I remember when I thought you were a man and then was very jealous of the fact that you were a woman.
Yeah, exactly. And that is your fault, says Carmela.
Yeah.
But I think it's also like a don't you fucking try anything look. She's She knows who Tony is, and she has no control over that, so maybe she could control the people Tony tries to be Tony with.
Yeah. Yep.
But yeah, they have a catch-up about what's just happened, and Tony is there to check up if Melfi had ever told anyone about him.
Right.
And she's pretty honest.
Yeah, absolutely. She's like, yeah, I mean, it came up in conversation that I was treating someone who was in the news, but I never mentioned you by name or any of your associates or your friends by name, so...
Yeah. I don't think that she gives him the full picture of what she's said to people, but she pretty much tells him, hey, look, you're fine. People kind of know. Like, obviously, people close to me would kind of know what I do, but whatever.
Yeah, there's nothing that could be used as evidence, I think, is what she's saying. And yeah, I guess you're right. Like, there have been pretty open conversations with her family and stuff where
with the Cusimanos.
Yeah.
Like two episodes ago.
Yeah. So that is true.
She doesn't lay it all out there.
Mm.
But Tony kind of tells her as well, like, I don't think this is a session as much as it's him, you know, being checking up on her, but he tells her, hey, you know what? That attempted assassination, man, didn't feel too bad.
Yeah.
And then lays out the whole sort of vision he had with the who he still believes is a real person, Isabella, talking about how he imagined her in the early 1900s having this baby, being motherly.
Yeah.
And she's like, oh, the baby was called Antonio, was it? Interesting. Mm. Well, guess what? That's you. You want a good mother.
Yes. Yeah. Your happy place that you went to is about you wishing you had a good mother and a different upbringing and a different life.
Exactly.
And a different relationship with her.
And your good mother was strongly old-fashioned Italy. Oh, weird, Tony. Good thing you're paying millions of fucking dollars for me.
Yeah.
So yeah, they've been sitting in a car, and then we cut to this really funny and weird and awkward scene of Anthony Jr. going on his prom date with this girl. And Silvio and Paulie just sitting there, keeping watch on them, not responding to any of the questions.
No.
Being unnecessarily intimidating.
Yeah, they're being real mob guys.
They're being really mobby. Are.
Yeah. No whiskey for Antonio Jr.
Do they think that this fucking prom date tried to assassinate Tony? Why are they got to be weird around her?
Yeah, I don't know. But yes, they're obviously, I guess it's just there to be like, well, as with many of the scenes with those two specifically, it's there to be funny.
Yep.
And it's there to remind us all, like, this family is in danger.
Right.
This is being taken very seriously.
Exactly. Junior goes and visits Livia to call her out for the bullshit Alzheimer's thing straight away. He's furious with it, and he sees straight through it, which is interesting. He's like, terrific timing, blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
And it's interesting that he sees through this move so much when he has been so easily manipulated by her up until now.
Yeah, I think that his aims have aligned with that manipulation to an extent, though.
So, like, he's been happy to go along with it type of thing.
Yeah, he does want to be the boss. He does. If Tony wasn't his nephew, he would still be a threatening up-and-comer in the mob. He would probably want to quell that.
Uh-huh.
He's definitely been pushed in that direction by Livia, that's for sure. Like, we've seen him be manipulated. But, yeah, I think he's probably, yeah, just too dumb to realize how much of an influence she's had.
Mm.
And yeah, now that she's clearly doing something to avoid jail time or arrest or implication in a murder or an attempted murder, as soon as it's gone against his interests, he's finally realized.
And he's at a heightened state of awareness now because of what's going on. And she is probably playing riskier cards here. Because she's been pushed into a corner and has to do it. So it doesn't not make sense that he would see through this one. But it's just interesting that the spell seems to have broken or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
Speaking of breaking spells.
Well, now she's done with him, you know. It's like a lot of these people,
right.
You know, once you're no longer useful, then you are cast aside.
She has to bail out of the plan. And Tony is also currently bailing out of his imaginary girlfriend. Because Cusimano's back and Tony's asking him some weird questions about the dental student, Isabella, yep. and he's like, I don't know what the fuck you're talking about. My, like, friend came around a couple of times to, like, check on the house. There wasn't anybody staying here. Is this some weird joke you're making? Tony's like, yeah. Yeah, it's a weird fucking joke that I'm making.
Yeah.
Skippy Palumbo was the guy that they had, and I don't think Skippy Palumbo sounds like the type of person that Tony was talking to.
No.
So he tells him, yeah, it was all a fucking weird joke, and then goes inside and checks with Carmella, like, did we have a fight about a big tit neighbor? And she's like, no, but now we are. What are you talking about?
Yeah, no, I did not say I was going to cut your dick off.
Right. But she's like, maybe I fucking should have, because what the fuck is this?
Yeah.
And he rings up Melfi straight away. And I wonder if this is maybe happening too, because this is a way of getting him to stay in with Melfi, who has clearly become potentially a threat to him more than she ever has been. Not her directly, yes. But, you know, him seeing her.
Her existence, yeah. Yeah.
Had ramifications.
Yep.
And yeah, he tells her, like, hey, remember that girl I was telling you about? Yeah, I think I made her up. And she's like, well, stop taking the drugs.
Yeah.
But yeah, it tells him, like, kind of, even if it was the medicine and you were hallucinating like fucking crazy, it meant the same stuff. It meant the same thing with the mother. And she hasn't quite started pushing yet, but you can tell that Melfi is beginning to imply, hey, who do you think maybe fucking attacked you here?
And she has, in the entire season, known that Tony's mother is the cause of a large percentage of his issues,
yeah.
of his trauma, of the symptoms of that trauma. She's been saying it from the start, that this woman just seems to want to hurt you. And he's been so resistant to that because culturally, you know, the Italian family is matriarchal.
And he feels guilt around, like, you're not meant to dislike your mother.
Yeah, absolutely.
And he feels guilty that he clearly does.
He does, and it's coming to a head, and to the point that he is hallucinating a better mum.
And it's interesting that, like, the more involved, like, I think Melfi knows that she's more involved in Tony's actual life here.
Right.
Getting more and more so, because they're meeting her at midnight in this fucking car park or whatever. Like,
yeah.
And the more involved she is becoming in terms of the impact that she's having in his life, the more involved she is allowing herself to get in terms of her kind of putting aside her rules a little bit more and more. Tony attacks her and she kind of lets him back in. Tony says, hey, someone's trying to kill me. And she starts maybe suggesting options for who it could have been. Like,
right. Yeah.
Their
yeah.
relationship is progressing beyond a healthy distance between client and patient and doctor.
Yep.
And she is taking some of those steps to push it over those boundaries. Whereas Tony has seen done that heaps in the past.
Exactly. We've seen him push it beyond those boundaries and her push back several times. But as we've noted, you know, when it happened, she has not opted out of that situation.
And at this point, she's starting to push herself into areas where Tony doesn't want her to go, and it's not necessarily just therapy that she's offering here.
Yes. Yep. Absolutely. It's really interesting to see what has happened to her, a normal doctor.
Totally. I mean, like, her as kind of ham-fisted as the whole episode was, her having a little crouch on the window to look into Tony's house and see what's going on, her fascination with him seems to be either so great as a therapist that she is willing to bend the rules of that because she is so professionally interested in him that she would take it to unethical points, or she is personally interested in him to the point where she will break those ethical rules. So,
yeah.
We'll find out more, I guess.
Yeah, that's it. That's the end of the episode.
Yep. That's us. That's that episode. That's the second last episode of the first season of Sopranos. And Livia tried to kill her son and failed.
Yeah. I think, we said it last week, or I said it, that last week was super exciting and it felt like a lot of plot stuff was happening. And that was all pussy stuff. You know, that was all mole stuff, the wire, all of that stuff. And this is back to Junior trying to kill his nephew and Livia trying to kill her son, and it was a fucking, a great episode.
Yeah, I really like how they're doing it and where both of those storylines seem to have now converged to this this final point of the season that we're going to get to next week.
Yeah, and I'm super excited to talk about it. Thanks everyone for listening and supporting the show, sharing it around, emailing and commenting and all that business. You know where to find us. The information is in the description of this episode. And we would love to speak to you again next week for the finale of season one of The Sopranos.
I'd love that too. So join us.